Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Good afternoon to Grenada Kaku, Petey Martinique. As I indicated to you earlier, Timothy Antoine, he will be sitting in with me so we can talk a little bit about, you know what, inside finance, and that's what we're doing here this afternoon. There's no doubt in my mind today will be a very interesting discussion because the IMF was in Grenada and they completed their first finding, and I'm sure Mr. Timothy Antoine have a lot to say to us. We take a word from our sponsors, we come right back, and Inside Finance today is with Mr. Timothy Antoine, who's permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Let's take a word from our sponsors, we'll be right back.
The National Leadership Training Academy, in partnership with the St. George's Baptist Church, invites you to participate in a 10-month leadership development training program. And that's in order to enable you to develop vision, mission, and purpose statement, and to help you create and implement strategic plans for your life, church, and business. Get a practical understanding of the 7 principles of leadership used by leaders all over the world. Please make reservations as space is limited. Call 440-6325 today.
The National Leadership Training Academy will be having its orientation at the St. George's Baptist Church on September 27th at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. You can call 440-6325 or 443-2894, and we will be happy to send you an email copy of the registration form. Come join us. Come be a part of your own development when it comes to leadership. September 27th, 5 p.m., St. George's Baptist Church. Look forward in seeing you there. Welcome back, Timothy. Good day to you.
Good day to you, Pastor, and good day to all of our listeners, home and abroad.
How are you doing?
I'm excellent.
Well, I was away for a while, and a lot of people listening to you. So I'm sure that you have become very much speaking what is happening within government and making it clearer to them.
Making it plain, making it clear. That's our mandate.
All right. How's the Ministry of Finance doing?
Very high spirits. Very high spirits.
And I guess there are good reasons for it. Because the IMF completed its first review of Grenada's homegrown program last Wednesday. What were the major findings? Because they were here looking at what exactly we have been doing in the past 8 months, really. Talk to us about the findings of the IMF in the visit here.
Okay, so the IMF was in Grenada between the 18th and 27th of August to do its first review of Grenada's homegrown program. And that covers the period January to June of 2014. Of course, most people would recall the IMF formally endorsed Grenada's program on the 26th of June of this year. And basically, they were here to look at what has happened for the first 6 months of this year. And they will come every 6 months. What did they find? The IMF, in its press release, which is now in the public space, it's out there so people can look at it for themselves. But basically, the IMF found that we were off to a very strong start, to use their language, strong start to the implementation of the program. It found that we had met all of our targets.
Wow.
And that we were on track in respect of what we set out to do, both in terms of the measures and the reforms. And by reforms, I'm referring to the legislation to support the homegrown program. So both in terms of revenues, expenditure, as well as in terms of the reforms, we have done extremely well. And that is what the IMF found. I should also indicate that in reviewing the fiscal performance of the economy, the IMF took time to look at the economic situation, what is happening in the macroeconomy. and it found that the economy is growing. In fact, it is growing a little faster than the IMF had predicted. The IMF had predicted around 1.1%. It's growing at least 1.6% at this stage. And that will be sustained for the rest of the year. It also found that inflation has been extremely low. In fact, it has declined for the first 6 months of the year compared to the first 6 months of last year, 2013. So all in all, an extremely good report for Grenada. And we're obviously very happy about that.
Now, what would you say was key to Grenada receiving that positive report from the IMF for the past 6 months of work that have been done?
Well, I think the first thing is togetherness. As a nation, I believe we've come together and all generally and broadly agree on the need for us to do this adjustment at this time. It is not easy. Some of the measures are tough. We're paying more taxes. And those are sacrifices that we've been called upon to make. But most people in Grenada recognize that this is necessary at this time. And I think the social partnership around the homegrown program, the Committee of Social Partners led by the Prime Minister, that includes our labor unions, our business, civil society, our churches, and of course government, that construct has been very positive in pulling the nation together and rallying around something that is good for Grenada. So I think that's extremely important. Beyond that, of course, it's been hard work, where we actually have to do day by day, week by week, month on month, the actual process of making sure that we do what we say we will do when we say we will do it. So whether it is collecting the revenues, managing the expenditure, which of course is a lot of that is on the Ministry of Finance and indeed the government service, or it is passing legislation, which of course is on our parliamentarians, we have all done our part. And I think when we talk about T in style, which is teamwork, this is an excellent example of what we mean, because it is not just the Ministry of Finance, it is everybody. Like I said in the press conference, this is basically good news for all of Grenada, and we should all feel proud about this because we've all played a part. If you are directly in the Ministry of Finance or in the government, clearly you are involved. If you are a taxpayer, as many of us are, you are making a contribution. If you're praying for the program, you are making a contribution. If you're giving us encouragement, as some people do, some people call and say, you guys are doing a good job, keep it off. We know it's tough, but hang in there, do what you can. We're working, we're praying for you, we're pulling for you. That encouragement is just as important for us because we're all human beings. So I think it is really a Grenada results and good news for all of Grenada, and I feel very proud to be a Grenadian that we've achieved this.
But as prominent Secretary of Finance, though, how do you feel personally about the good report from the IMF? Because you are head of that department and with working under the Prime Minister, how do you feel about this?
Well, I feel very gratified. And I keep using the word gratified because I'm not satisfied. There's a difference. Satisfied is when everything is perfect and we're not perfect yet. So clearly I'm gratified. I'm encouraged by the results. I'm motivated by the results. But it is a team effort. It's led by the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. Minister Joseph plays a key role. Deputy PS Mike Sylvester, the Accountant General, the Head of Debt, Natasha Marcus Sylvester, or Corporate Communications, Petra Charles Joseph. I could just go down the line of people in the Ministry of Finance. They all play a very important role in this team effort, our policy unit with Michael Stephen and company. And then, of course, the entire government set up, the cabinet itself, Minister Bowen, who leads the government business in the House, Senator Larsing in the Senate. I mean, I could just keep calling the names, and that's just government. And you can go beyond that and talk about civil society and all the members of the social partnership and so on. To make the point that I feel at this time that we're doing what is right for Grenada and by Grenada. And that gives me a lot of comfort and a lot of encouragement that we are focused on doing the right things for our country at this time.
So what are some of the specific targets under the program that we are looking at the moment?
Well, when the IMF, the program, everybody has a letter of intent, or at least it's published, so everybody has a chance to look at it and really see these details. But essentially, they look at our revenues. How have we done on revenues? We have certain targets to meet on revenues, so that's important. Every month, we have to report on our progress on revenues. They look at expenditure, Are we staying in line with the expenditure targets? Obviously, you don't want to exceed your targets because you have to keep expenditure managed properly. Very important, they look at something called a primary balance, which is basically revenues minus expenditure minus interest expenditure or interest costs. That's called a primary balance. That's very important because that goes to the heart of how our debt is being managed, how we going forward, whether we're accumulating more debt or not. The fact of the matter is, for the last 20 odd years, Grenada has run a primary deficit, essentially expenditure exceeding revenue. And that situation now is to be reversed. In fact, under the homegrown program, we're expected to move from a primary deficit to a primary balance by the end of the program. And to do that, obviously the revenues have to go up, the expenditure have to come down, and our interest rates costs also have to come down. So a combination of these things are going to allow us to see an improvement in the primary balance. So those are some of the key things that the IMF looks at when it does its review.
So now that the first review is completed by the IMF, what happened next? Where do we go? What are some of the things we should be thinking about or looking at?
Where we go next is that we take courage, that we are on the right track. The IMF has affirmed that or confirmed that, and we must stay on track. So the first thing we do is that we re-energize ourselves about what we're doing, and we stay focused. In terms of the specifics with the IMF will go back to its management, the team that came here, they will report. The management will eventually take something to the board later in the year. And once the board approves it, we'll get about about 8 million EC dollars as a further disbursement to support the homegrown program. So that will be the second disbursement from the IMF for program. And we expect that in the latter part of the year. Thereafter, our 2015 budget will be presented around the end of November. It will be very important that the budget is consistent with the program. So we cannot have a situation where we have expenditures that are way out of line and inconsistent with. And we have to avoid this feeling that because things are improving, we could spend and just do what we want. And we can't. We can't afford any slippages. We have to be disciplined. And that's going to be how we go forward. And then, of course, comes the second review. After the end of the year, early in the new year, the IMF will come back for the second review. So a lot of work is ahead of us. In fact, there are going to be 6 reviews under the program. So it's 1 down, 5 more to go.
Oh. So it's 5 in all?
6 in all.
6 in all.
Yeah, every 6 months.
Okay.
And it's 3 years.
Okay. Let me just remind our listeners, I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Ntwine, who is Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. And we're looking at the IMF was here and some of the questions that is necessary for us to have a clear understanding of where we are. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back and continue the discussion with Mr. Timothy Ntwine, who is Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs, backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Ntwine. We're talking Inside Finance. We all know the government bill is the single largest expenditure. We understand that government has approved an attrition policy. Tell us about that policy. And when person talk about the attrition policy, some may want that to be clarified, clearer, so they have a better appreciation for what government is trying to do. Could you talk to us about that?
Sure. I'm happy to, in fact, because it's an important issue. The wage bill, as you rightly said, is, in fact, the single largest expenditure of government. As we said at the beginning of the homegrown program, wages, including pensions, account for about 70 cents of every dollar collected. That's way too high. And what it means is that there's no money left really to spend on investing in the productive sectors and social infrastructure. So how do we address this issue? Well, some have said we need to do massive retrenchment, layoffs, as is being done in Barbados and in other countries. The position of government and indeed the social partners is that we ought not to do that. And therefore, the design of the program does not provide for any retrenchment. What it does provide for is an attrition policy. And by attrition, I mean the reduction of the public service over time as people leave the service. That is what we now call 3-for-10. And I want to be clear, when I speak of 3-for-10, I'm not speaking about the arrangements, commercial arrangement at happy hour. I'm speaking about a situation where for every 10 people that leave the public service, only 3 are replaced. And to do that, we basically have to manage the service very properly. So every year, for example, we know 100 odd people retire from the public service. Let's say 100 people retire, only 30 positions will be filled, only 30 of those persons will be replaced. So rather than replacing 100 persons, only 30 persons will be replaced. So over time, the public service, the size of the public service will be reduced. So that's what we mean by attrition. Now, in addition to attrition, or as part of the attrition, the first thing that the ministries are doing right now is to identify the vacancies that they have. And we have to eliminate most of the vacancies. In fact, 90% of the vacancies will be eliminated immediately in the next month or whatever. And then once that is done, as people leave, no more than 30% of the people who leave will be replaced. And that is a way for us to bring the service down over time. In addition to that, the government has agreed with the labor unions on a wage freeze. And that wage freeze is important because that, with the attrition policy, is to help us manage the wage bill so that it does not grow. Because if we don't manage it, what will happen is that with every revenue, additional revenue that we get, we will spend it in more wages and we will be no better off than we are now. In fact, we may be worse off. So to avoid the situation, to be able to ensure that the monthly fiscal gap keeps coming down, we've cut it by half, we have to keep chipping away. We have to make sure that as the revenues improve, expenditures are controlled, are curtailed, and the biggest single expenditure is a wage bill. And that is what that attrition policy is all about. So that policy was approved by the cabinet in July, and it's now for us to implement it fully. I must also indicate that while on average, only three of every 10 persons will be replaced, there are exceptions in the case of the police officers and the prison officers, where there will not be attrition as we know it across the rest of the public service. That said, the overall numbers must show a reduction of 3-for-10. That is to say, for every 10 persons that leave, only 3 will be replaced.
Okay. So government is looking to control its expenditure at the same time balance off the deficit that we have.
That is correct. So as we do that, if the revenues are going up and the expenditure is constant or is not growing, then your deficit is going to be reduced.
Okay.
And eventually we'll completely close it.
Now, tell us, what is the status of debt restructuring at the moment? Where are we on that?
Right. So we are pressing on. What has happened is that since the IMF approved the program at the end of June, we have intensified our negotiations with our creditors. Because obviously, they with the IMF endorsement, they know that we're serious, and the IMF is confident about the program that we have designed, hence the approval. At this moment, we are in very advanced discussions with some of our creditors. I must say that in most of the cases, creditors have agreed that we have to have significant debt relief and there will need to be some haircut. Some of them have already agreed in principle to as much as a 50% haircut. For others, they've agreed to a haircut, but we're still discussing the figure. And, you know, that is a work in progress. But we are working on that, and that's a very important part of the program, because when we talk about managing expenditure, we also have to look at how much debt we're paying. Now, I have to remind everyone that we are paying some debt as we speak. For the year, I know we've already paid about $40, $50 million in debt. So because we have to pay the World Bank, we have to pay the IMF, we have to pay the CDB, we have to pay the Kuwaiti Fund. There are some critical people who agencies that are helping us funding our development. So they are being paid as we speak. We have to pay our treasury bills and so on. So we've been doing that. But the bonds, for example, we are not paying because those are being restructured. And obviously, we want to conclude that in the shortest possible time. So we're pressing on that front. And as I said, the negotiations are moving ahead.
Now, I recall that R is star, stand for result. That R and star stand for results. Now, we now completed 8 months. The government has now completed 8 months of 2014. What have been the physical result of all the programs government has done, the restructuring, the debt reliefs, the tax increases? Where are we?
Well, what I can say is that after 8 months, we are on track. I will share with you briefly some of the fiscal results for the first 7 months. We've just ended August, so we don't have the final numbers yet for August. Although I can tell you from what I've seen, the revenues have held their own. We've met the targets. For the first 7 months of the year, our revenues in terms of actual collections were 299 million, compared with a target of 278.9 million. So that's a positive difference of 20.1 million in terms of revenues. So both customs and inland revenue have met their targets. In terms of grants, we've not done as well. We were hoping to collect about 47.3 million in grants. After 7 months, we had collected 33.7 million. That's a negative difference of 13.6 million, or negative variance of 13.6 million. So we have some work to do there in grants. We're trying to see how we could buck up and improve that as we close out the year. In terms of spending, current spending was 275.4 million, which is 16.7 million less than we projected. So we've kept it tight, and even when we include the back pay, we were able to keep the spending tight. Wow. And that's a very important outcome. And then on the capital expenditure side, which is very important, because as the old saying goes, the current keeps you going, but it's the capital that makes you grow or keeps you growing. And basically, on capital expenditure, we've done 104.6 million, which is about 48% of our target for the year. So we're trying to see how we could improve capital. And the truth is that you have to have the money to spend it in terms of the projects, the roads, and so on. Now that some of the funds have come in, obviously, you've seen the capital expenditure has improved in the last couple months, July and August in particular. And we expect that we close out the year very strongly to make sure that we do a very solid capital budget for the year. So all in all, I would say, Pastor Simon, that for the first 7 months, the fiscal results are very encouraging. They continue a trend that we've seen all year. And as I said, the preliminary results that I have for August, those results are also very good.
So you are saying the steps that government took have now brought some clear results that the IMF then can give the kind of report that they are giving.
The program is working, exactly. The program is working. The revenues are yielding the required results. We are seeing the fruits of our labors. What we need to do is make sure we sustain. That's extremely important. We need to sustain this effort. So it's 8 months down, 4 more months to go for the first year of the program, and we have to keep pressing on.
Now, what are your reaction, the government reactions, and I'm smiling, to the SDU announcement of bonus for staff and expansion late last week? And I asked that in conjunction with, I know if government normally charge some taxes on the people money when they get a little back painting. So talk to us about what's happening. I know this is big for people, but is government going to squeeze their hand some way to get a little piece of the back pay too?
No. Government is not. This is extremely good news for Grenada. And I want to commend the St. George University, the Chancellor, and others for that decision. I think it's extremely timely. As I understand it, St. George University has agreed to release about $18 million in gift, or bonus gift, whatever they call it, for their faculty and staff, many of whom are Grenadians. They have over 1,000 people on staff there, and many of them are Grenadians, and they're given $1,000 for every month they've served, including those who have retired. So that's a handy change at this time.
Wow.
That's an injection into the economy, essentially, because people will do things in the economy with this money, things that they probably want to do, and that's a very important development.
Hold on a minute. $1,000 for every month?
For every year.
$1,000 for every year?
Yes.
So it didn't matter what your pay scale is?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Which I think is also neat. Rather than look at who's high salaried or whatever, there's some equity in that arrangement. Once you've worked a year, you get $1,000. And it doesn't matter whether you're the top professor or you're the cleaner, you've worked with the university, you've put in the years. So if you did 10 years, you get $10,000, full stop. So I think that's an extremely magnanimous gesture on the part of the university. And of course, to support that, the government is not taxing that.
I can only say
what the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance said, which is that the cabinet is going to look favorably to not taxing Grenadians for this bonus. And again, that's positive, because it means that they will get all their money in their hand and they will be able to do whatever they wish to do with it. So that's very, very positive. But beyond the actual bonus or the gift, as it is called, is what is even more exciting are the expansion plans. What the St. George University hopes to do in the next 8 to 10 years, including the collaboration on a new hospital. That is important. Keep in mind, the university accounts for about 20% of our economy. When we talk about education, we're talking about St. George University, mainly. And with that kind of investment, we can see that contribution to the economy grow. We can see more jobs. We can see more income. We can see more employment. We can see a bigger economy for Grenada, a more resilient economy. And that's also important, because during the Great Recession that we went through, SU grew during those years, which tells you that the business is in medical education, tourism, is extremely resilient industry. And that's what you want to have when in the face of all of the vagaries of the global economy and so on. So I am excited about what is happening in Grenada with respect to St. George University. I think for somebody to come on board and invest, I think is in the region of $750 million, which is what the investors come in. That's an expression of confidence in the country. You don't spend that kind of money if you do not believe the country is going to be doing the right policies and it's the right place to invest. And of course, St. George University itself has distinguished itself over the last 37, 38 years in terms of its quality of education, hence its ability to attract this kind of investment, quality investment. And what that does, it sends a signal to other investors who are looking at Grenada to encourage them. So here's somebody who's already in, who is expanding, and there are others who want to get in, who looking at this situation will feel encouraged. And then you get the IMF report, which says that the fiscal situation is improving. We have a strong start to the economy. All those things bode well for Grenada. And I think what is important is that ultimately it is not just about revenues and expenditure improving and the fiscal situation improving. It is about growing the economy, creating jobs, and creating a bigger pie, creating wealth in this country, the new economy. And to do that, we have to get the fiscal right, put our house in order, and then we have to push on and get the economic development going. And what St. George University is doing, for example, is very important in that regard. So it was really a great week for Grenada.
It is a tremendous week. I mean, a week I was out of the country, but the reality, I come back and all sort of things is happening. I mean, it's good. Despite all that has happened, how do you feel about Grenada at this point, after this week or the past 6 months or 8 months? How do you feel about what we are doing? And as PS, you have been in this position for quite a while.
I feel very positive about Grenada. But, you know, the truth is, I have always had faith in our country. And I've said this before, and I repeat, in the height of the crisis, I said it then, and I said, no, Grenada has the potential to be the strongest economy in the ECCU. And I mean that. I mean that. What has happened recently supports my view. And some people might call it an expression of faith, but it's more than faith for me, because I also have a vision of where I believe this country can go and should go and will go. And I believe these things are basically supporting that vision. So for me, I am feeling very good about the future of the country. Things are picking up. The economy is turning around. The recovery is growing, coming along. The economy is growing. My expectation is that we'll continue to see improvements, and people will continue to feel more and more feel the improvements as we go along. And I want to encourage people to continue to keep the faith and to do what we have to do.
Thank you very much, Mr. Timothy Antwine, Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Finance.
Thank you. God bless.
You've been listening there to Inside Finance with Mr. Timothy Antwine, who's Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. The man is feeling real good about Grenada. I'm feeling good too. I think all Grenadians should feel good and proud about, in the past week, what has happened with the report from the IMF. SGU, gosh, SGU workers, wow. I mean, those of you working there for 15 or 30 years, boy, you're coming out real good. And some of you have been working down there for that long. And the relationship the SGU has built with its workers. And congratulations again to the Chancellor and the people who have made that commitment. We appreciate it a whole lot. And thank you to all the workers of SGU for making Grenada proud and taking care of the people over the years. It means that investors see this place as a place that they can invest, because you have done your best. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining me once again, Inside Finance, with Mr. Timothy Antwine, who is Permanent Secretary in Ministry of Finance. Join me here next week at the same time, where we do this all over again.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.